Hello, welcome to A Quiet Life. My name's Ruth. It is so good to have you here with me. Thank you for pressing play and tuning in. Today is the 13th of December, and the reason why I am saying this is because today's podcast is focused on Christmas, and I know that you may not be listening at Christmas time, and also that I probably won't get this all finished up and out there today on the 13th of December, and you may be listening to it a bit later. But I don't think that's too much of a problem, I hope, because preparing for Christmas is something that really could be done better, I'm trying to say this very carefully, quite a bit before Christmas. And today I am talking about Christmas because I talked to Scotty about Christmas on the radio last week, and I have it top of my brain at the moment. But there are tips and tricks that you can do to prepare for Christmas to make it easier and smoother and quieter and much more restful, but they need to be done probably before December starts. So we talk about it in December, probably should talk about Christmas in June and say, this is when you can start preparing for Christmas. Freak everybody out. So whenever you're listening to this, or if you come back and listen to it in June next year, so that your Christmas, the year of 2022, goodness me, is more peaceful and more quiet, I think that's a great thing to do. Today, I looked at my calendar and realized that, you know, my Christmas is going to start on Christmas Eve, which is Friday week, not this coming Friday, but the Friday after. And honestly, my mouth opened in a silent scream and adrenaline coursed through my body. And I thought about, what am I going to do? But, you know, I knew that it was just a reaction and that I have some things prepared and other things are going to take just a little bit of work. But I immediately thought, you know what I need to do? And this, I've talked about this before on A Quiet Life. I need to get these thoughts out of my brain and onto paper, because when they're sitting there in my brain, just going, freaking out, you know, I have all these things to remember, they become bigger and they become amorphous, like just swirling around this grey cloud of things that I know that I need to remember, and I'm not sure if I'm going to remember, and I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to fit them in, and they become bigger than they are, and they become more scary than they actually are. So I immediately got a notebook out, and I wrote three different lists. So one is to do, things I need to do for Christmas. One is events, just so that I know what events are happening between today and Boxing Day, when my Christmas extravaganza finishes. And one is to buy, you know, the Christmas gifts and things that I've just been keeping in the back of my head because they don't belong on the grocery list yet and they don't belong on any other to buy list. So I've written those things down and now they're out of my brain and I actually do feel a bit calmer. I know I've got to fit some things in the next couple of weeks, but I can do this. These are things I can do. So if you're listening to this and the fact that I said Christmas and then said Friday week freaks you out, immediately stop, press pause, sit down and write yourself some lists. Get those things that are in your brain out onto pieces of paper. If you're driving a car, probably best to wait until you get where you're going. But even then, take a few minutes to scribble down in your phone or somewhere those things that are top of brain so that you've got them down there. They're caught. You're not going to lose them. And then you can listen to the rest of the podcast. Scotty has some great tips because his wife and family do amazing things at Christmas time. And then I have some others that I'll share with you after the chat with Scotty.
This is Hot 26.5. Ruth Amos is with me again. And this morning, Ruth, we're talking about the of Christmas.
Absolutely.
I like that. How am I going to write that in the title?
I don't know. I don't know what you're going to call it.
So tell us more.
Well, there is that feeling of there's so many more things that you need to pack in this month. There's so many extra bits and pieces that you need to do. And I even at the end of last night, I had a busy day yesterday. And at the end, I'm thinking, how can I possibly go in and talk to Scotty about this? I just feel like such a hypocrite. But by this morning, I'd calmed down a bit. But I just think it's so important to make sense, to make space this month, to just give yourself a bit of breathing space. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And it is such a, I've contemplated it for years. It's like, you know, I mean, life seems to be pretty crazy, But then you get to December and it's like, oh, we've got to see this person and we've got to do this and we've got to do that. And we're going to, and like, you've got a list of 100 things you've got to do.
Yeah.
I'm like, why do we cramble that into 1 month in the year?
I don't think, if you can give yourself 10 minutes just to sit down and look at what you've got to do and think, why am I doing this, right? Am I doing it because I enjoy it? If so, go ahead, do it. Am I doing it to please my dead ancestors? Cross that one off your list, you know. I think there are some things that you can get rid of, and then there are some things that you just need to power in and just make an attitude decision that you're going to enjoy this come what may. And then I was thinking also about shopping, because shopping becomes just horrendous this time of year. But what I do when I do my Christmas shopping, even the grocery shopping, is I go to a coffee shop and I buy myself a coffee and I take it in and I think, this is going to take an hour and a half. Let's just enjoy it. If you have kids, bring them with you and give them things to go look for. I need you to go and find the dried fruit, or I need you to go and find the, you know, make it a fun and playful experience. Sing the Christmas carols with them in the supermarket and just decide, I'm going to enjoy this, because I think our attitude makes such a difference.
It
to this
really
time
does.
Of year.
Yeah, attitude makes. Can I give you a life hack that my wife does?
Mm-hmm.
And she's amazing. She through the year, so we have this what's called a presents cupboard.
Right.
And so through the year, she'll be thinking about, you know, like presents, birthday presents and Christmas presents. And she'll go, oh, I'd love to get such and such. And then she waits through the year for things to come on special. Or if she just sees something, she goes, oh, that's really nice, I should get that for such and such.
That's amazing.
And then she comes and puts it in the presents cupboard. So come Christmas, often most of our shopping's already done.
That's awesome.
I know. I'm like, you're brilliant.
And the other thing I like about your family is that you have a small Christmas one year and a really massively big Christmas the next year, but you're not trying to do all of it every single year. You can do, you know, we actually have in our family, wider family, we have a Christmas celebration in late January, early February, because it just got, it gets too much. It gets too crowded. You can't, if you're listening, you can't see my hand movements here, which are building things up around my head, but it does, it can get too crowded, but you can make these decisions of, you know, December 25th is beautiful and it's important, but it doesn't all have to happen right then.
No, that's right. Yeah. And that's nice too. Sometimes we'll say to our family, hey, you know, we're not going to see you on Christmas Day, but can we catch up on Boxing Day, you know, just to spread it out a bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we got to remember the real reason for the season, which is Jesus' birthday, and that's important to us. But yeah, and I think the other small thing, I know I'm saying too much this morning, Scotty, but the other small thing is to remember there are some people out there for whom Christmas is deadly dull and boring because everything else has stopped and they don't have anything to do.
Yep.
Maybe you can invite them along.
Invite them
something.
Over. I've got a friend that does that every year. Their family invites somebody that they know is alone on Christmas. So, you know, like, and I would suggest this time of year, particularly during COVID, there's a whole bunch of people that haven't been able to see their families. Like, invite them over. Say, come and have Christmas with us this year.
Yeah.
Beautiful gesture.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Hey, thanks, Ruth.
Happy Christmas, everyone.
RuthAmos.com.au. Don't forget to check out her blog and all those other good things on the website. RuthAmos.com.au. Thanks, Ruth.
Thank you.
As you could hear, I tried to fit in with Scotty absolutely everything that I could to talk about Christmas. There was so much I wanted to say and I wanted my radio listeners to hear it all. But you, my beautiful podcast people, can listen a bit more in a bit more detail, and I can take my time a bit more and say what I want to say. I guess the first thing that I want to say is that you need to think about what's important about Christmas for you. What is it that is the thing that you're really trying to celebrate? And does your life show that thing when you look at what you do for Christmas? Does it really display what you're talking about? Now, I'm a Christian, in case you didn't already know that. And so for me, Christmas is one of my really important, I guess you could say, religious traditions. It's a time of celebration that Jesus came to earth as a baby. And so I want to celebrate that. But if you look at what I do over Christmas, you'll see that maybe secondarily in importance, maybe even primarily, what I celebrate, because I celebrate Jesus all the way through the year, but what I celebrate is family. And I spend a lot of time with family at Christmas. And I don't mind that. That's one of the important things to me. But I think you need to take the time to think about what's important to you over Christmas, because we want our lives to display what's inside. We want the inside of us to match the outside. And so if you can take a little bit of time this Christmas to think about what's important to you, what the thing is that you're really spending this time celebrating, and then arrange your life so that it displays that. I think that's really important. It may be time with family. It may be friends. It may be that you really do want to celebrate by, you know, spending as much time at church as possible or whatever. I just think having your outside of your life match your inside and getting rid of that dissonance can be helpful. You might find that there are things that you're doing that really aren't important to you, and you're doing them because they're very important to someone else, maybe. Now, if that someone else is important to you, it may be worthwhile, but, you know, you may be trying to live up to expectations of some person that you know on Instagram or Facebook or some celebrity, and this isn't important. Like, who's going to die if we don't put Christmas lights up? Honestly, I don't want to say to you, cut everything out of your life and don't put the Christmas lights up or don't do the tree or whatever. But if it's a struggle for you, let's find the things that are important to you and focus on those things. Make those things a priority in your Christmas celebration and let the less important things maybe fall by the wayside. You do not have to do it all. All right, so that's probably a big thought. But I hope that, I hope that it helps. What's important to you? Let's focus on those things. It might be baking beautiful food, and that's great. Or it might be decorating your house with the most beautiful lights that you can, and that's great. So, you know, maybe you do the lights and then you buy the food. Or maybe you bake the food and you let either someone else worry about the lights, or you light a candle on Christmas night and call it quits. This is what I'm saying. So I think that, yeah, there are many traditions out there, but we need to make our own. Now, one of the things that I talked about with Scotty is how you actually spend that Christmas day or Christmas weekend. And as I said, Scotty's family do this marvelous thing. One week they have a quiet Christmas. The next year they have a whole week or 10 days of full-on Christmas activities with the whole family. And I'll tell you what, that's not me. But it's wonderful for them. It's a joy. And, I think that doing it year in, year about is cool, because you have a year where you don't have to worry about organising activities and then a year where you do. Our family is slightly different. And when I was a little kid, we had Christmas lunch with one side of the family and Christmas dinner with the other side of the family. And I think possibly we did a midnight service on Christmas Eve and a morning service on Christmas Day as well. So you can imagine by the time we got to the end of Christmas Day, when we'd been going for a full 24 hours, we were exhausted. And the family said, nah, we can't keep doing this. We can't. So we stopped, and instead we did a Christmas Day with one side of the family and Boxing Day, which, if you're not Australian or English, is the day after Christmas Day. That day we did with the other side of the family. And it was just great. That worked out really well. And I remember that through my whole childhood, we would spend one day with my mum's side of the family and the next day with my dad's, and it was really joyful. Then when us kids grew up and got married, we had another set of in-laws that we needed to deal with. And so it got a bit more complicated. So this year, what we're doing is on Christmas Eve, it's a new tradition. This is something we started up last year or the year before, cocktails and board games with my kids. So that's a fun night. And we are going to be doing that by Skype with my daughter, who's not in Tasmania this year. But that will be our little family Christmas, just us. And then after that, I like to watch the carols, and then we go to our midnight service, which is starts at 11 o'clock at night, and we see in Christmas morning at midnight, and it's absolutely beautiful. Just the dark and the candles and everything is just gorgeous. So that's one of my favourite Christmas traditions, plus singing at the top of my lungs these carols and trying to hit the descant notes. Anyway. It's a joy. Christmas Day for us is now very, very quiet, because it just consists of my parents coming around for lunch, and that's lovely. And I need that after Christmas Eve, midnight, we all enjoy a lovely meal and a nap and a play with Lego and then watch the Royal Variety Show on TV in the evening. because I'm half British and it shows at Christmas time. And then on Boxing Day, we're going to go to Moz's side of the family, and that is big and loud and fun and goes all afternoon and into the evening, and we just sit and eat and enjoy each other's company. One of the things that we've done for that to make it more simple for us, as we're all pretty much all adults at this point in time, we have one child in the family left and the rest of us are adults, is that we do a Secret Santa. And Secret Santa is beautiful. It makes things really simple, and I really highly recommend Secret Santa, even if you do have kids, because I think one of the things for me that I struggle with is when people are focused so much on the gifts part of Christmas, the presents, and especially for kids, they start, you know, looking for where's my present, where's more presents, you know. But Secret Santa, and we use a website called drawnames.com, and we just buy one gift for one person and enjoy that. So that's simplified things incredibly, because I'm not out there trying to find the perfect gift for all the perfect people within budget. And, you know, you can't actually get a perfect gift for less than $20, I don't think. If you can, I really envy you your gift buying ability. But instead, doing this draw names thing and having a Secret Santa and just buying one gift for a person, and they can put up on the website what they would like. Moz always puts the weirdest things in his list because he's into a wide variety of things, but nobody would know if he didn't have this chance to put it up on the website. So that's made life simpler for us, the Secret Santa thing, and I love it. And so then, yeah, that's it, Boxing Day, and then it's all over, and then we recover after that. So those special, the different kind of Christmas traditions that have come up. Oh, another one I was thinking of. So the Boxing Day meal is really, really fun, but it wouldn't be fun if my mother-in-law was the one doing all of the cooking, and at times she has been, and it's been a big stress for her. But we got around that in previous years, and we'll be hopefully doing it again this year, by each of us bringing something. But to make it more fun, and this is my daughter's idea because she's just amazing, we decided to have a charcuterie board competition. So that's a cheese platter for those of us who are not quite so posh. But who can come up with the best cheese platter? And then it's fun. It's competitive because my daughter is. But it's a game that we can play. But it also takes the pressure off just one person providing the food. You can have a pavlova making competition or a dessert making competition and just see what you can come up with. Have the fun, but everybody bringing part of the food together so that we have not just one person holding the burden. And then, I don't know about you, but for me, this is going to sound really weird, but washing up after a party is one of my favourite things. I think it must be the introvert in me. But look, each of us has our gifts, and if you enjoy cleaning up like I do after a party, go ahead and do it and take the burden off the person who doesn't enjoy it. I listened to a podcast called A Drink with a Friend, and it's by someone called Tish Oxenrider, and Tish is spelled T-S-H. And if you just Google her, if you just Google T-S-H, you're probably going to come up with her. She has said that for her, celebrating the whole of Advent and not just Christmas has made Christmas more special and taken the pressure off that single day again. And she has a website, which, again, if you Google TSH and Advent, you're going to find it, but I'll put it in the show notes, where she has a whole Advent book that she's written, a playlist, and a whole lot of art activities and things like that, that you can make the whole Advent season special. Now, if you don't know what Advent is, and I'm sorry I've used the word several times without defining it, but Advent is a Christian tradition where it's the lead up to Christmas. It's a time of preparation for Christmas. So we have Lent before Easter, we have Advent before Christmas. And so there are actual special carols that are Advent carols, like O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, and things like this. And each year, in each week of December, in more traditional churches, you light candles on an Advent wreath. So you have four candles for the 4 weeks before Christmas, and then you have the one candle, the big white one in the middle, for Christmas Day. And one year I decided that just as a personal tradition, I was going to make myself an Advent wreath and light these candles every week and think about what they symbolize, because each of them symbolizes something like joy or peace or whatever, and really consider Advent, the whole of Advent, as a special quiet time for me to think about what this actually means. So, you know, that might be something that you can look at as well. I just thought I'd mention it because it's great. But, yeah, so there's just special things. I mean, you've all heard of Advent. You've heard of Advent calendars, for crying out loud. But it's more than just a piece of chocolate every day before Christmas. There's more to it than that. And Tish has been able to tell us about that. So, yeah, Christmas traditions are wonderful things. But there are things that you can do to take the pressure off. But I think really, really important, of most importance, is to take quiet time away for yourself where you can really think about what's important to you. And the second thing that I think is really important is to adjust your attitude. So much depends on our attitude. And if we go in with this, oh, it's such a stress, which, you know, I mean, I had my panic attack this morning, so no, my mild panic this morning about Christmas. I understand that we feel that way, but then I took some time to really think it through, as I said, write my lists out and calm myself down, because I want to be looking forward to Christmas and adjusting my attitude so I'm going in with joy. So yeah, heading into the supermarket with a, this is going to take some time and I'm just going to enjoy it type attitude. It might take a bit of grit your teeth and enjoy things, but I think that can really, really help. And the third thing is communication, because I've talked about all sorts of things, changes you can make to Christmas, but Christmas is not about you as a single person. Christmas is about you relating to those around you, and communicating your ideas for changes is really, really important. Don't just say this is what we're doing and then think that everybody's going to take it. You might be stomping on somebody else's Christmas tradition, and we need to work together to communicate. And one of the things that really blessed me this year was that because it is the Haas big Christmas this year, so they've got heaps and heaps going on. And I thought, right, well, I'm not going to make my children come and do things my way. I'm going to let them be, you know, because my daughter-in-law is Scotty's daughter. So this is why it's linked. I thought, well, they've got a big Christmas on this year. I'm going to let them do it. And then I was so, so blessed by them saying, oh, no, no, we're coming to you for cocktails and board games on Christmas Eve. And so that was such a blessing to me, because I wasn't expecting it, but I could really appreciate the fact that they decided to come. So that was just awesome. And so, yes, communication, so vitally important. And then remembering that other people are not able to have these big family Christmases. You might be one of those. And if you are, many, many blessings on you for this Christmas. But if you are a big family Christmas person, just to remember that others of us aren't quite so blessed with the big family, and wonder who you can invite along to Christmas this year to share it with you, to be generous as God was generous with us at Christmas time. Anyway, there's so much to think about, and I just pray for you a delightful and blessed Christmas that's full of the things that are important to you, and that you can let go of the stress, and that you can have a quiet and joyful, even if it's a loud and joyful, but quiet as in relaxed and anxiety-less, peaceful, calm Christmas this year. And yeah, I'll be chatting to you maybe before Christmas, but if not, in the new year. I've got some special summer podcasts that I'm going to be uploading, including that interview with Daniel C, and some other special interviews that I hope I can get together and upload for you this summer. And then we'll get back to our regularly scheduled program in February. So yeah, many, many blessings to you this Christmas and in the new year. And I will chat to you soon.